to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary here in the postmodern emergent church upper room with a cruddy air conditioner. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Sad to say.
Is there any chance of Jesus appearing?
There's always a chance. Right. We are in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount at verse 25, I believe, is where we begin. And so we'll just kind of get started and read some Greek together. We start with some odd stuff, actually. Verse 25 sounds like this, or roughly like this. Iste eunoon. Iste eunoon to antidikosu tahu. Heos hatu e met autu ente hado. Me patasa parado ha antidikas te krite, kai ha krites to hipirete, kai eis philakein blaetheze. We can pick up verse 26 too. Amen, lego soi, u me ex elthes ekathen, heosan apados ton eskaton kordrontain. It starts out with something, I don't know if you... ever see this anywhere else in the New Testament, a periphrastic imperative. Now, sad to say, it doesn't get any better than that. Iste is actually the imperative of ame. It's the me verbs. You'll see this theta iota ending in the aorist passive imperative sometimes. And this is just from ame, and it by itself it would just be translated be, second singular. Okay. Now the verb eonoeo means to be well disposed, and it's a participle. It's a present participle active, masculine singular nominative. So it's being well disposed. I mean that's woodenly what you have here. I tried all kinds of different forces. Does it mean, perhaps in the context where, you know, it's the context of the danger of judgment in light of a failure to repent or something like that, would you translate it, begin to be well disposed? You know, give it an inceptive translation because it's present stem? The versions, the translations certainly don't do anything with it other than to just say, be well disposed. So we'll just go that way. And you're well disposed with someone in the dative, with your opponent, quickly, tahu. Now here's another odd-looking little construction. Heos, of course, is our friend that normally means until. Hatu is a form of the relative pronoun hustis. Okay, and it doesn't. There's not much payoff here. You spend 12 minutes looking this up. Heos until will get paired with different little words, you know. There doesn't seem to me to be a lot of difference. Normally it would mean until. In this context that doesn't make sense. The lexicon suggests while. Okay? So for all that work, all we get out of that is while. A is the verb, the indicative, from ame, present indicative. So be well disposed or on good terms with your opponent quickly while A, that's the verb, you are with him while you are in the way. Now, mepata introduces here a negative purpose clause, lest, in order that not. Let's see, the verb is parado. It's an aorist subjunctive active from paradidomi. Lest the opponent hand over se, to krite, to the judge. And lest the judge, now we have to supply the verb. I didn't even look at the variant. You can see there's an insertion mark. And yes, they've inserted the verb again. And the judge hand you over, understand, to the servant. And eis philakein blaetheze. Now, blaetheze is actually a future indicative passive. It's not a subjunctive. And what there may be is a kind of a sense of an additional result. So it's not just subjunctive, subjunctive, subjunctive. It's subjunctive, subjunctive, future passive. and as a result, you be borrowed, you be thrown into jail. Truly I say to you, now we have our friend ume plus the aorist subjunctive. Was that? Oh, that sounded eschatological for a second. Truly I say to you, you will certainly not go out, ex erchomai, ekathen, from there. Now we have heos on with the subjunctive, because you have on, it just means until. Okay? Until apodos, you pay the last, and here I like the King James translation, farthing. Okay? It obviously means you have to pay everything, right? Now, one little tiny point of Greek accents for those of you, I mean, you guys are here, so you might care about this stuff. Back up in the second line at the end, we have mepa tes se. Notice that se is enclitic, so there's no accent, which is why you actually have two accents on mepa te. And so if you can't preach that, it means you're a regular guy, and you're probably going to be just fine. That's what that means. Okay. Well, that was a little bit awkward. You got a bunch of little funny words flying around. Any questions about 25 and 26? Will, go ahead.
Just interesting. Why would they switch to the future passive instead of give another subjunctive?
Well, again, the grammar suggests that maybe it's less this happened, and as a result, this will happen. So there's a small distinction and the addition of a further consequence. That's what they suggest, right? But again, the subjunctive is sort of about futurity anyway. And as I think we may have seen, sometimes you get clauses where you would expect a subjunctive verb, but you get a future indicative. So it's hard to know exactly how hard to push it. But the grammars do suggest that. Good. Other questions? Great. Okay. So again, there's lots of theology here, but we're not going to do theology. We're going to read Greek, and that means I don't have to explain anything that's hard. So, all right, verse 27. Now we get to the second of the six antitheses, right? And so Jesus repeats, "Ekusita hati erethe, you heard that it was said, u moichuses, you will not commit adultery." Again, just the future indicative has a imperatival sense. Erethe, again, is from lego. It's the aorist indicative passive of lego. And that part's pretty straightforward, so we'll go on into verse 28. Ego de lego humin, hati pas ha blepon ginaika prosta epithymesai autain, ede emoi husen autain en te kardia autu. But emphatic, again, I am saying to you that, now we have pas with an articular infinitive, which is acting like a noun, everyone who sees, or we probably translate it, everyone who looks at a gyne, a woman. Now we have, you see this from time to time in Matthew and elsewhere, you have pros plus the neuter accusative article plus the infinitive. So pros, ta, plus the infinitive can often express purpose or result, right? And actually either one would work here in context, right, theologically. Maybe purpose would give Jesus' words a little sharper a tone. You deliberately look at a woman in order to desire her. Now, again, just for sort of lexical clarity, epithymeo just means desire, and it can have a positive connotation or a negative connotation, right? Here, clearly, it's negative, and so it could actually be translated to lust, but you can obviously desire something good in English or desire something bad, and just like the verb to lust. Now, because of the culture in which we live, we automatically go to sexual lust, right? But you can lust after a car, you can lust after a lexicon. No, maybe not, yeah. You can, right? Yeah, you can. Yeah. If you're a big a geek as we are, yeah, you probably can, that's right. If you don't, if you have a pathetic little narrow existence. but are happy in your vocation, right? So now, now autein after the infinitive, of course, infinitive can will if it has an explicit different subject, that'll be accusative. But of course, the object of the infinitive is also in the accusative case, and clearly in context here, I think autein is just the object of the infinitive. And then the main verb already moikuo means to commit adultery. This is just the aorist indicative active third singular with the movable nu. So you can see the temporal augment on the front and the weak stem sigma, right? And the connecting vowel is ah. So already committed adultery with, we have to say in English, her. You could say adulterized her in the heart of him. Right. So thus far, verses 27 and 28.
Is it possible to take that as the subject of the infinitive?
In order that she might desire?
Right. Kind of like flirting with her?
Well, that's a... Well, most of us aren't that good, Ben, but... grammatically, yes, it's possible. Yeah, that's right. Grammatically. That's right. Although, I don't think that's right. So. Yeah. In order that she desire, is what you're suggesting.
Right.
Yeah, grammatically, that'd be possible.
With the result that she desires.
Right.
With the result that she desires. Yeah, I never thought about it. Yeah. Yes, the answer is yes.
I mean, that almost seems to make more sense with what he's talking about there. Committing adultery, you'd be unfaithful to your wife to be doing that with another woman. I mean, obviously, we can't discount the fact that you shouldn't be looking at a woman for you to desire.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, the blepo, I mean, how would you do that? How would you look at someone in order that they would desire you?
Bat your eyes.
This is seeming less and less likely to me. Yeah. You'd have to have really good eyebrows to do this. I think we should just go on to the next question.
Yeah.
So, but grammatically, it could actually be the subject of the infinitive. Yes, that's a good point. So, okay. I mean, if it said, whoever does in order that, or something, but it's looking, you know, it's looking. And I suppose guys in the first century were as visually oriented in these matters, I'm not sure, as guys are in the 21st century. So, but now we're into pastoral care, and this is Greek club, right? So, okay, anything else? Okay, good. Verse 29. Now Jesus goes hyperbolic, which he likes to do. Eida ha athomasu ha dexias skandalizesa. Exelta autan, kai bale apasu. Simferigar soi, in apaletai henton melonsu, kai me holan tasamasu blethe, es geenan. Da da da. Next sentence. Okay, we have a conditional, kind of a, just a particular conditional sentence. A plus the indicative, followed by an imperative. So if the eye of you, the right one, stumbleizes you. Scandalizo means to make someone trip. Okay. Xle is the kind of form you'd have to look up. I was pretty sure I knew what it was, but I looked it up. It's from xireo. Okay. It's very strong. This is the aorist imperative active second singular. It means to take away or to take out. Okay. So take out it, that is, auton has as its antecedent ophthalmos, eye, right? So take it out, and bale, you can see the one lambda there from balo, so this is aorist imperative, second singular. Throw it from you. Now, simfero, I mean, if you just look at it, it can mean what it looks like, that is, to bring together, sim and fero, okay? But it most often functions as an impersonal verb, that is, it is better, it is beneficial. And normally, the it will be an infinitive. It's kind of like day, it is necessary, and you'll see an infinitive. To do something is necessary. To do something is better. But, this would look really weird to Plato or somebody like that. You can have a henna clause instead of an infinitive. So the way you'd actually translate this to make have it follow the grammar is you would say, for that one of your members perish and your whole body not be thrown into Gehenna, is better for you. So the whole henna clause, strictly speaking, is the subject of the verb sinfere. Okay? And then the verbs in the henna clause are subjunctive just because that's the way you do it with the henna clause, no matter what the force of the clause is. Apolletai is from apolemi with two lambdas. As you may remember, this is the verb from Sheol. It has two sets of principal parts, one active and one middle. It means to destroy. The middle often means to perish. And so this would be the aorist subjunctive middle, third singular. And it means to perish. And the subject is hen, one. One of your members perish. And the whole body of you not be thrown. And blethe would be the aorist subjunctive passive of balo. Be thrown where? Into Gehenna. By the way, notice that Gehenna here assumes that bodies are in it. So this is talking about the eschatological judgment, right? So, questions about that grammar? That wasn't, or the syntax, that wasn't too hard.
Is that melone connected to mellow at all?
I don't think so. It's just melos, the noun is ta melos, a member. You think of the verb mellow?
Right, because wouldn't that be the same as the aorist, the third principal part? Melon?
It's weak. It goes emelesa.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, I'm surprised I knew that. Yeah, Will? Yeah. So I'm having a good day. Can we stop now?
Is halon, is that one of those adjectives that can stand without an attributive position but can be taken attributive?
Halos normally stands in predicate position. Yep. Yep. Kind of like a demonstrative pronoun in that regard. Yep. Yep. Okay, good. Other questions? Okay, fantastic. Let's pick up verse 30, which is strongly parallel to verse 29. Kai ehe dexiasu her skandalidzesa. Ek kapsan autain, kai bale apasu. Simferi gar soi hina apoletai hen ton melonsu. Kai me halan ta somasu ace geenan ap elthe. The vocab is a little different, but the syntax is pretty much identical. And if your right hand, notice that here we have, although there's a variant reading, the text given puts the adjectives in the sandwich position, whereas before we had the repetition of dexios in attributive position. So article, adjective, adjective, noun, right? Hey dexiasu her. Your right hand causes you to stumble. This is from ek kapto. You can see the sigma buried in the c, so it's weak aorist, imperative, active, second singular. Cut off it and throw from you. And now we have that same construction where you have the it is better and the henna clause is what the it is, so to speak. So that one of your members perish and the whole body of you not depart into Gehenna is better for you. And the verb at the end there, the second subjunctive verb is from ap erkomai, which means to go away or to depart. Okay. Again, you actually see this a fair amount when you have an impersonal verb. And in English, it's not wrong. We say, it is necessary for, or it is better for. That's just the way we do it in English. Okay. But grammatically, you'll see an infinitive or an infinitive clause lurking around, or sometimes a henna clause, which is functioning like an infinitive. So,
was there any significance just with the fact that it's the right hand and the right eye? Is it, I mean, he could have just as well said, you know, one of your eyes. Was there anything about that at all?
That's a very good question. The question is there something significant to Jesus choosing the right hand as opposed to the left? Probably. You think of, you know, in the judgment scene in 25, right is happy, left is sad. Right? Yeah, there probably is a priority. It's your more valuable hand. And, of course, we Southpaws resent that, but that's just who it is. Yeah, Kefi and then Ryan.
In a lot of culture, from what I understand, a lot of things that you do them with your left hand, with right. your right hand. I mean,
yeah.
So maybe that might be like one of the you know, like. You eat with your right hand,
right.
you did something
right.
with your right hand.
I remember Dr. Seleska telling me he had to leave now that when he went to India, the left hand is actually unclean, and in church, for instance, you can't make the sign of the cross with your left hand. You can't serve the Lord's Supper with your left hand. And like me, he's left-handed, see. And so Dr. Raj actually had to warn him, you know, and he had to consciously not use his left hand. I mean, when I give the benediction, I just use my left hand. I'm left-handed, see.
I know
but
that where
in
my
some cultures,
if you
yeah.
give my friends your left hand,
it's an offense of some sort. Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, at the end of verse 30, how it puts the verb last.
Uh-huh.
Is that something like, I seem to remember Dr. Bell saying something like this.
Yes.
That sort of signifies that this is the end of this section or anything like that.
I was thinking that sometimes it's suggested that not only is the first position of a word in a Greek clause emphatic, but the last position can be emphatic as well. I was thinking something like that.
Oh, okay.
You might be thinking, and this is another good point that Veltz does make, if you have a sequence of items, then you need to signal orally in an oral culture that you're coming to the end of a unit.
Right.
So you'll have a pattern which then breaks. So you may be thinking of something like that as well. Yeah, yeah. And then he has that point, which is a very good point in his hermeneutics book. Actually, I think you see some of that going on in the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, right. Good. Okay, well, it's 25 after. We should probably stop. I know some people have class. And so lectionary lunch tomorrow and Hebrew Club on Thursday. Thank you very much.